Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Miracle Internet Church. I'm Pastor Sabrina, and we are so happy that each of you could join us for this evening's fellowship with the Lord in the Word of God. Amen. It is a pleasure and an honor and a privilege to fellowship with the body of Christ. And a special welcome to all of our first-time listeners. We are a Christian, Protestant, non-denominational, international, loving, healing, deliverance, miracle church. And we welcome you in the name of the Lord. We encourage you to join us in our chat room. And our chat room is located on our website. Amen. And our website is miracleinternetchurch.com. Miracleinternetchurch.com. When the page comes up on your computer, on your laptop, on your tablet, across the banner you'll see MIC Radio Chat. Please do click that link, and when the page changes, click Guest. When it changes again, sign in using your name, one of those names that's on your birth certificate, preferably, and your greeting for the saints, and enter. And the saints will respond to you with a greeting of love. Amen? If you're on a cell phone, please use your browser to find miracleinternetchurch.com. When the page comes up, across the banner, you'll see three white lines against a black background. Please do click the three white lines, and it will open all the links to you. Choose Miracle Internet Church Radio Chat Room, and you may follow the directions that you just heard. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So it's good to be back together, saints, since Sunday. Amen. We've had an interesting week. I've had a very interesting, hilarious, challenging, testimonial kind of week. Amen. It's been really interesting. So I want to thank the Lord that we're coming to the close of this week, and we're going to plunge right into next week. Amen. Knowing that God is already there. And I pray that your week was inspirational and challenging and filled with miracles. Amen? As we're in this season of seeking the Lord, it's interesting to note that as we press into God, he opens things up for us. Sometimes it's things in our understanding, sometimes elsewhere. But we should anticipate that opening. We should anticipate God breaking through even in ways that we had not considered, because we were asking for one thing and he did something else. Amen? So also look for God to use you. It may not be the way you think, but it'll be what he wants and needs. So with that, we're going to go into prayer. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you all hear me well? I need to know. This is an official sound check. I need you to indicate in the chat room if you can hear me. Thank you. All right. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Thank you. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Heavenly Father, thank you for today, a day which you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You are our ever-present help, Lord. because you are always there, we will set you continually before us. Because you are at our right hand, we will not be moved. Therefore, our hearts are glad, and our glory rejoices in you, Father, and we will rest in your hope. You are showing us the path of life, each step of the way, Lord. In your presence, we find fullness of joy every moment of the day. And at your right hand, we experience pleasures forevermore. Give us your grace to make the most of every moment today, and help us to seize every opportunity that comes our way. We will redeem the time today, and we will walk purposefully and wisely as you reveal your will to us. Heavenly Father, we will trust you with all our heart, leaning not to our own understanding. In all our ways, we will acknowledge you, and we know that you will direct our path. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen. Don't do that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Each day is different. It's different from the day before. And you're calling us to let go of some of the things of the past, things that we maybe held on to for too long, things that we mourned over too long, things that we grieved over far too long. You're calling us to go forward, to go forward in you. And we hear you, Lord. You want us to know that you're in our future already, and you're beckoning us forward, forward to the blessings, the promises, the challenges, all that life holds. You're calling us forward to where you have prepared things for us, Lord. Lord, let us not be hesitant to obey you. Instead, let us promptly turn and surrender our past and go on into the future that you have for us. We ask you, Lord, to quicken our heart, quicken the hope in our heart, and bring us to the place that we are joyful and filled with expectation of the wonderful things and favor and grace that you have for us. You are for us, Lord, and you have good plans for us. You have good plans for us. You send us notes to tell us, I care. See, I care. I care. I care about you. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for every reminder that you care. Help us to be bold. Help us to be bold with these first steps into our future, Lord. Help us to be bold, to be joyful, to be expectant, and to be hopeful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You know, sometimes, Lord, I think we camp out at yesterday for too long, and we forget to close up camp and go on. But you're calling us forward, and so we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we're trading our yesterdays for the today that you have for us. And we know that it will be wonderful because you prepared it just for each of us. So we want to thank you. Amen. We want to thank you. You know, In the past few weeks, some of us have had some changes. Some of us have had some changes. Some of us have had job changes even. And, you know, that's kind of, sometimes it can be kind of a precarious kind of thing. You're closing one door and you're opening another. But you know something? God is already there. And he's the only door you need to walk through. He has everything ready for you. So don't be anxious about it. Just step out in faith and trust him. Amen? Just step out in faith and trust him. Sometimes God will have you do things that are not necessarily so familiar to you. Why? You have a tendency to want to hold on to what's familiar. But you see, in order to go on in faith, sometimes the unfamiliar has to step in. And you step into it and, well, you don't know what to say. So, now, what now, God? What do I do now? You smile and you trust him and you go forward. Well, what if? God's already answered the what if, okay? So you can put that away, okay? That's not going to work. You can put the what ifs away. He's already answered. He is the answer to all of your what ifs. So you can put that one away. Okay. Is not a question, so it doesn't get an answer, okay? You're going to have to step out into new faith, and that means another level of trust. And if your knees are knocking, just put something in between them, and they won't clash so much. Amen. Just keep going. Just start and keep going, knowing that God is already there. He's already there. He's waiting for you. So just go forward. Amen. Amen. It looks strange. It looks different from what I'm used to. He knows that. But you're supposed to be trusting him, not the way it looks. Okay? Alrighty? Amen. It looks different from what you thought. Well, guess what? He already knew that. Okay? So just trust him and just keep putting one foot in front of the other and trusting him. That's it. It's not as hard as you think because you've done it before. It just feels unfamiliar to you. It just feels unfamiliar. But before you know it, you'll feel comfortable because you've had this situation before, where you stepped off into something that was unfamiliar, and initially it felt a little uncomfortable, but after a little while, you adapted. There you have it. So God's going to help you along the way, and when you look back, you can laugh at yourself, okay? Because you're still human, just like the rest of us. Praise the Lord. Amen. You're still human. Just like the rest of us. Yes, you've been through that process, and you know how it works, but you're still human. It's okay to be human. It's a blessing. Amen? It was a blessing given to us by God. So, we're going to go right on trusting the Lord. Heavenly Father, according to your word, we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, in your sight. We thank you that our loins are girded about with the spirit of truth and that we're wearing our breastplate of righteousness. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen. We are taking the shield of faith so that we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We are wearing our helmet of salvation, and we're taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you've put a hedge around us. You've covered us in the blood of Jesus. We are the head and not the tail, and no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you that you're our shepherd, and we shall not want, that you supplied all of our need according to your riches and glory, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we cast down all imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring into captivity every evil thought. We bind that thought in the name of Jesus. We cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. And we know that you do, Lord. Thank you. We praise you for giving us the grace to walk in divine health. Thank you, Lord. You are the Lord our God who heals us of all of our diseases, and by your stripes we have been healed. We thank you for our prosperity and good health, even as our souls prosper. We thank you for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. So, Father, we thank you for leading us and guiding us in all of our ways. And, Lord Jesus, for you being the Lord of our life, we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor, Lord. Thank you so very much. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Lord, when we feel inept and unsure, our confidence comes in you. It's not in our own abilities or what other people have promised to do. Confidence comes directly from you. And you're the only source of our confidence. So we know that it's sure and unmovable. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan, the strong man, all of his evil angels, evil spirits, demonic agents, all of his underlings, decisions, timings, maneuvers, tactics, devices, plans, orders, and we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous in the name of Jesus Christ. We take authority, dominion, and power, Father, over all of the securities and protections of the enemy camp. We break their protections. We destroy their protections. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to release your warring angels against their protections until they are destroyed and completely taken out of the way in Jesus' name. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name, and we bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and we come out of agreement with Satan, his agents, and their wicked powers in Jesus' name. We close and seal all portals, channels, open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong man, and we dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, and placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks onto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, reporters, watchers, listeners, peeps, whisperers, familiar, electronic, digital, technology demons and their attacks. We take authority, dominion, and power over any demons that have been sent to us, and we bind them. We blind them, we deafen them, we mute them, and we send them back where they came from in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise, glory, and honor. We bind all Leviathan spirits and their attacks, brainwashing, psychic, Kundalini spirits and their attacks, all water and marine spirits and their attacks. sex devils and their attacks, unclean spirits and their attacks, passive devils and their attacks, pain afflicting spirits, sleep deprivation, artificial intelligence, smart dust, spirits and their attacks, all sorcery devils and their attacks, all seducing, womanizing, whoredom spirits and their attacks, all the voices of the stranger and their attacks, the Havana syndrome, brain changes, injuries, all remote viewing, all sonic and audio weapons, we bind you in the name of Jesus. We bind all electromagnetic attacks, smart technology and particle attacks, techno-paganism, mind control by the occult, force feedback, cyber-stalking, cyber-sex, cyber-sex crimes, pornography, demonic curiosity, bewitching spirits which manipulate modern technology, pulse microwave radiation attacks designed to cause neurological problems, brain injuries, debilitating headaches, vertigo, binding directed energy microwave weapons, binding all vibrations which are demons. Father, we take authority, dominion, and power over all the demons that have been sent to attack us. We bind them in the name of Jesus, and we take a deep breath and we cough them out. In Jesus' name, take a deep breath and cough them out. We're sending them right back where they came from in the name of Jesus. They have not been given permission by God to attack us. They have no right. They are illegal. They're going to prison. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you very much. We give you praise, Lord. We bind all the voices of the stranger and their attacks, all seducing, womanizing, whoredom spirits and their attacks, all voices of the stranger, all hypnotic and trance devils and their attacks, all mystic rituals and their intent. We overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, sir. We bind targeted radio frequency, all pulse weapons and their attacks, all microwave attacks, debilitating sonic frequencies and the work of every druid. We bind the voices of the stranger, the charmer, and the seducer in their attacks. We take authority, dominion, and power over 5G and all of its components. We bind anything coming from another galaxy, coming from another planet, coming from another star, from another orbit, from another satellite system, whether it be man-made or not. Anything coming at us as a weapon from what we call outer space, we bind it in the name of Jesus, and we send it back from whence it came. We take authority, dominion, and power over planets that are being moved against us in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your intervention and your adjudications in such matters. We thank you, Lord, for protecting us. We bind any foul beings or transmissions coming to a receptor on earth, even through the cell towers or our cell phones or electronic devices in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we are not afraid of this era in which we live. We know that we are in the end times and things are different than they have been before. But you are here with us, and so we have safety and security in you, Lord. We have safety and security in you. We have safety and security in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We want to thank you, Lord, for the prayers of the saints, for the leadership, and for the pastor. We want to thank you, Lord. We take authority, dominion, and power over all the warfare that's been sent against myself and Brother Marshall and Brother Bill particular. Oh, whew, that was good. And we send that back right now in the name of Jesus from whence it came. We send it back, and we command it to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, where it goes back in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you, Lord, that you will soon rid us of such attacks in the name of Jesus. Amen. That you will soon rid us of the sources of these attacks in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you the praise. Thank you for your promises, Lord. Amen. Thank you for your promises, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We take authority, dominion, and power over Buddhist, black magic, Santeria, Kabbalah, Egyptian, Chaldean, Hindu, Indian, African, European, North American, South American, Islander, indigenous groups, tribal groups, groups we don't know of, heathen groups, Illuminati groups, cabal, coven, conclaves, wicked groups, non-elected wicked groups. Non-elected wicked groups coming under the heading of the Illuminati, the globalists, the New World Order, the UN, the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, and others. We take authority, dominion, and power over you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we bind you. We break your grip and hold over the world and its peoples in Jesus' name. The Bible declares that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the earth and they that dwell therein, and that's the way it is. We exalt the word of God over you. We bind up your finances. Yes, you have a lot of it, but we are binding it in the name of Jesus Christ. We're binding your finances, your methodology, your plans, your wickedness, your motivation toward further wickedness in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every effort that you have put forth to hurt normal people, ordinary people in the name of Jesus, and we send it back upon your own head as the scriptures declare, according to the covenant in Jesus' holy name. We want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts. We bind all Magellan's attacks, and we return every attack to the senders. We bind Caribbean, Latin American, and Jamaican black and white magic in Jesus' name. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils. We bind all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in our culture. We bind hyperactivity, racing mind, inattention, impulsivity, low levels of dopamine. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the powers of the dog and every abomination that's been committed. We bind the lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind all witchcraft, all formations of bullflies and demonic insects. We bind the Mandela effect and all satanic ritual abuse devils, satanic worship, witchcraft dedications, and all rituals done on any phase of the moon. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits, spirits of infirmity, spirits of supplanting, the gods of the people of the land, the gods of the groves, and every spirit that exalts science, logic, human reasoning, and demonic knowledge against the knowledge of God and makes man wise in his own eyes, we bind you. We bind Mammon and his agents. We take authority, dominion, and power over Mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, monitor, track, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, defile, corrupt, undermine, despise, bewitch, tranquilize, assassinate, attack, divide, confound, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We bind We bind the shedding of injected persons upon us. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind the bondage of generations of fools and the spirit of the fool in Jesus' name. We bind the carnal mind. We bind the fool's anger in Jesus' name. We bind the carnal mind, food lust, food addictions, and gluttony and false flags. We return to sender according to the covenant. All in every reprisal, retribution, counterattack, psychic weapon, retaliation, all avenging, all blowback, all vengeance, all blood rituals, every boomerang, each payback, and all requiting of our righteous warfare in Jesus' name. This includes every evil work, mark, rite, ritual, ceremony, sacrifice, proclamation, pronouncement, vow, root work, or sin against us. astral projection, sending demons to us to work against us and against all that pertains to us. No demon, no wicked person or unrighteous event left behind, binding the inordinate use of conjugal rights, returning to sender or witchcraft attacks through channeling and the satellites against the website, the app, or the broadcast, binding all abortions used as a magical ritual. Returning to sender all Cameroonian wizardry, black magic, jujus, hexes, vexes, and such in the name of Jesus. Returning all tribal witchcraft, especially begun by a shaman, an obeda man, or witch doctor in the name of Jesus Christ. Returning to sender all Chaldean witchcraft in the name of Jesus Christ. To those that practice it in Jesus' name. Binding all covens, cults, conclaves, and cabals, the Lord Jesus Christ in his kingdom, returning to sender all Spanish and Mexican witchcraft in Jesus' name, breaking and destroying our social, emotional, and psychological ties with food and drink, which are displeasing to Jesus Christ, binding superficial religious acts, every act of sexual sin, binding magic spells for love, money, protection, black magic, white magic, candle magic, hoodoo, root work, lucky charm, time magic, and folk magic spells, binding the demons of energies, boomeranging their wicked works upon them, binding all magical language, magic signs, magical patterns, even in numbering, binding synchrony, binding and caging Poseidon, and all other underwater demons and inhabitants, and stripping them of their crowns, their powers, and their thrones, transferring it back to Jesus Christ, binding all conjurations and summonings of demons, binding Jewish black magic mysticism, magic writings, magic artifacts, binding the essence of magic and Jewish magic by practitioners, amulets, bowls, precious stones, incantations, divining practices, magic spells, potions, binding all blockages to righteous spiritual reception. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order, New Age movement, Great Reset, make-believe, fantasy, fables, enchantments, la-la land, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, the spirits and works of the oppressors, and the spirit and the children of disobedience. We bind martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic spirits and practices. And we take the Jezebel's territory from her, in the name of Jesus Christ, and we return it to the Lord Jesus. Lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos, and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the king of pride and all of his underlings, and we send you bound into the spiritual cage, into the feet of Jesus for judgment. We bind all human, demonic, blood, sexual, financial, animal, food, fecal, and soulish sacrifices in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all sacrifices done by queens of the coast in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, apathy, unyielding, nature worship, deception, idle mind, unfocused mind, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, violence, and temptation to sin in Jesus' name. We bind Belial, Beelzebub, Baal, Basilic, Molech, Python, Neptune, Zeus, Apollyon, Kali, all gods and goddesses, Osiris, Isis, on all false deities, in Jesus' name. We bind Mammon, Atlas, Baphomet, and his 72 in the name of Jesus Christ. We send you into the spiritual cage to the feet of Jesus for judgment. Thank you, Lord. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold spots. Woo! Psychic weapons, prompters, codes, triggers, charms, tumors, designs, and signals, and we return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We break the power of every Masonic ritual, rite, ceremony, pact, pledge, and power in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the rituals, the brotherhood, the lodge, the craft, the worship, the grift, Freemasonry, their charter. We bind the rituals of every secret society and those of the affiliated organizations in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Hula, we return. All of that witchcraft back from whence it came. We give you praise, Lord. We thank you for it. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the pride, insanity, work of error, foolishness of our own opinions. We bind being misled and misleading others. We return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions and customs rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and send their fear, harassments, and witchcraft back on their own heads as well as their mind control in Jesus' name. We bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. We repent of an evil heart of unbelief in accord with Calvary. We ask you, Father, to teach us to guard our hearts with all diligence. Lord, we've come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. Lord, we've come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief in whom we serve and obey. Father, we're binding all electromagnetic energy pollution, binding and returning to sender all electromagnetic witchcraft, binding magical fantasy movies and TV shows, binding the unreality of the Hallmark Channel shows and their escapism, finding the pathways to sin to the mind in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command every demon that has followed us, was sent to us, transferred to us, or hitchhiked to be bound and sent into the spiritual cave and leave us now in Jesus' name. Even those coming through the web pages on the computer, or coming through our cellular devices or electronic devices in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and elsewhere. We pray for kings and all who are in authority and all true Christians everywhere, especially those that are being exploited, that are being persecuted or imprisoned, and the January 6th prisoners. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we cover ourselves in the blood of Jesus. We cover our mode of transportation with the blood of Jesus. We take authority, dominion, and power over all interferences and all reckless driving that may even be on the highway in the name of Jesus. We bind such lawlessness in the name of Jesus. And we forbid those spirits to cross our path. We thank you, Lord, that you've already dispatched your warring angels ahead of us. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, if we must get on an airplane for some reason, we ask, Lord, that the parts stay in the place they're supposed to stay in while we're on the plane in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that the angels take care of that plane and see to it that it lands safely at its destination in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And should some unusual situation arise, we thank you, Lord, for keeping us in perfect peace in the name of Jesus. Perfect peace. Father, we cover ourselves and all of our property with the blood of Jesus. We take authority, dominion, and power over demons of the night, bad dreams, night dreams, sex dreams, anyone or anything trying to get into our dreams. And we bind everything that's been coming into our dreams. We bind every dream that we can't remember. We bind the intents and from whence it came, and we sent it right back in the name of Jesus. We didn't ask for it, call for it. We don't want it. God didn't prescribe it. Go back where you came from in the name of Jesus Christ, and don't ever attack us again. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your warring angels protecting us. We thank you for the word of God over us. We thank you for the wall of fire that surrounds us with your glory in the midst, the warring, linking angels, your praising angels, but most of all, Lord, your own very presence. We thank you. We pull out every sharp pain. Why? Because it's a voodoo pen. That's why. We pull out all fiery darts, pins, needles, voodoo pins, spears, witchcraft, curses, anything sent to us from the demonic realm in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we give you praise, Lord. We bind the devils in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We close and seal every open door to the demons. And we destroy all ungodly silver cords and ley lines and sever from ourselves all ungodly soul ties, attachments, covenants, agreements, oaths, consents, garlands, vows, pledges, pacts, leagues, and all other forms of agreement with the demonic realm. We destroy, we tear down, we rip apart, we crush and blow up walls of protection around witches, warlocks, wizards, Satanists, globalists, shamans, nanotechnology, sorcerers, divinators, liars, and those who attack us because they practice witchcraft. We break their powers in the name of Jesus Christ. We break the power of their charms, their love spells, vexes, hexes, curses, psychic prayers, all witchcraft, psychic thoughts, spells, charms, fetishes, voodoo, sickness, pain and torment, psychic powers, psychic warfare, ungodly blessings, chantings, incantations, incense and candle burning, hoodoo, crystals, root works, everything being sent our way, all destruction returned in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you are healing us in our spirit, soul, and body, and we receive the healings that you have for us right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. We break the power of all tribal rituals and sins against us, Father, and we give you praise, glory, and honor for the work that you are doing in the earth and in our lives. We return to sender spirits of hate, bitterness, murder, envy, jealousy, wizardry, sorcery. We give you the praise, Lord. We give you the glory. We return spirits of blindness, spirits of bondage, spirits of fear and heaviness. And we thank you, Lord, for your protection over us, in us, and around us. And we bless the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So our featured psalm for this evening's worship service is Psalm 3. And our verse for meditation comes from the book of James, James chapter 1, verse 20. Our featured ebook is Spiritual Warfare, Power of Worship Bible Study. Amen. That's a great book. You ought to read that one. Amen. And tonight, we're going to talk about our light shining. Our light shining. We're going to begin our study tonight in the book of Acts, if you'll be so kind as to join me. We're going to start in Acts chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Acts chapter 6. Now, I'm going to say something. And I know this cannot apply to too many of you, but I'm sure every now and then it probably applies to some of you. When you're reading the scriptures and you come to a word that you don't know the definition of, you need to take the time out to look it up. That's what dictionaries are for. Amen? They make these nice big books with a hard cover, and they're called dictionaries. And they have lots and lots of words in them. And they give the explanation, the meaning to what the word is. I'm sure that you're very familiar with them. So since you are so familiar with them, do use them. Amen? Do use them. So I know you're there now. Acts chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily menstruation. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So the apostles were saying, we have to focus on prayer and the ministry of the word. We can't get entangled with the daily workings of the ministry, so to speak. We have to be dedicated to this. So we need you to recommend 7 people that are honest and full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom that we can appoint to take care of this. Well, so they liked it. So they gave them 7 names. And the first name is Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost. And so, verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, the Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men. What does that mean? That means they instigated through illegal means, bribery usually, men, which said, you know, you've seen this the whole time. You know, that's what they've been doing to Trump the entire time. Okay? They got these people to say that we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Okay? And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceases not to speak words against this holy place and the law. But we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. So, you have the privilege of reading Acts chapter 7, beginning with verse 1 through verse 16 on your own, praise the Lord. That's Acts chapter 7, verse 1 through 16. You have the privilege and honor of reading that on your own, because we are now moving to Acts chapter 7, verse 17 and beyond. Amen. We're picking up at Acts chapter 7, verse 17 and beyond. But when the time of the promise grew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. And the same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, their young children, to the end that they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren. Why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out. After that, he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yes, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Rempham, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we want to thank you for the reading of your word. Saints, when we please God in our daily service, we will also discover that those who are faithful in little, God will make faithful in much. In this passage, we have such an example. Stephen, a man chosen to serve tables, having such a revelation of the mind of Christ and of the depth and the height of God. There was no stopping him in his Christian experience, but a going forward with leaps and bounds, a going forward with leaps and bounds. Saints, there is still a race to be run. Really? Yes, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. There is still a race to be won. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You got to think about it this way. Our cloud of witnesses is all the saints, all the way back to the garden, that have gone to be with the Lord, that came before us. It's a lot of people. That's an awful lot of people. And they're watching what's happening to us. So, seeing as we have so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. That's a sin that catches us up every time. It gets us off track every time. It turns us around every time. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. So God gives us an awful lot in these three verses. He tells us that we have spiritual ancestors that have gone before us. They went through a lot of the same trials that we go through. They've endured things that we didn't see, and we're enduring things that they didn't have to experience. He said, all these people are pulling for us. So, since they are, they're on our side, let us lay aside every weight, that thing that easily holds you back, and the sin. This is a sin. That was a weight. This is a sin. It's a sin that gets you out of place. It's a sin that gets you out of line. It's a sin that has your mind all turned around in confusion. Let's deal with that, so that we can run this race with patience, because there is a race that is set before us. There's a race for every generation and the people in it. How are we to do this? By looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher and the completer and the developer of our faith. We have to look unto Jesus with unwavering faith. How did he do it? For the joy. See, the joy has got to come in. You can't grieve forever. The joy has got to come. That was set before him, he endured the cross. He looked at the joy while he was enduring the cross, while he was despising the shame. And now, having completed that, he is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are to consider him because he endured extreme contradiction of sinners against himself. Yes, they're going to persecute us. You can't run and you can't hide. Yes, they're going to persecute us. They persecuted him. Yes, they're going to persecute us. Consider what Jesus went through. Consider him. Consider his victory. Consider how he endured. Consider how people continually came against him every single day. Every single day. Every single day. There wasn't a day that somebody wasn't coming against him. Lest ye be weary, lest you get tired, and faint in your mind. It didn't say faint in your body, faint in your mind, in your thoughts. I can't go on. I can't take it anymore. I can't. No, the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's the truth. Stick with the truth. Amen? Stick with the truth. There is a crown to be won. So we cannot stand still. Let's visit with Timothy 4, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Amen. We can't stay still. We've got to go forward. This is why we were born. You can't just walk away from the reason that God sent you into the earth. This is what we were born to do. Henceforth, from now on, there is laid up for me, he says, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So we're supposed to be not only anticipating and looking for his appearing, we're supposed to love it. Amen. Amen. There's a crown of righteousness to be had, saints. Down here is not all that there is. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? What is our hope? What is our joy? What is our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Isn't this what we're looking forward to being in the presence of the Lord when he comes? Aren't we excited about that? If you're not, we're going to pray for you some more. Amen. Saints, we must be vigilant. We can't afford to get slack because there's a move of God coming. The Holy Spirit keeps saying it. There's a move of God coming, and it'll be here soon. And we got to get ready to keep moving with God, or we'll get left behind. That's not what we want. The Bible says, let no man take thy crown. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. I come quickly. Not your idea quickly, his idea quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. Hold on to what you got in Christ, that no man take thy crown. You have to be vigilant. In Jude, the Bible tells us that we have to contend. We have to fight for the faith as it was once delivered to the saints. Because if you look around in what is called Christendom, people are going in every which way you've ever seen, and some you never heard of. They're doing things that are simply mind-blowing. And they're sins. Bad sins, horrible sins, rotten sins, nasty sins. They're doing things that I would have never thought I would see a Christian do or participate in, but they're doing them. You haven't got time to focus on their wrong. You keep your eyes focused on Jesus. He's telling you this is how you're going to overcome. This is how you're going to make it through. You can't spend too much time on the foolishness that people are doing. They're doing a lot of that. We have to keep looking unto Jesus. And we have to consider that we're going to go through some things because he did. If you don't suffer with him, you don't rule and reign with him. You see? That's how it works. Don't look at who's falling to the left or to the right. There's going to be plenty of that going on. I tell you. I mean, it's shocking. Some of it's shocking, saints. I've been shocked this week and last week. Things I didn't know, I know now. Amen. There is a crown that we must consider. And Jesus says for us, not to let anybody take our crown. We're to hold on. He's coming. God has privileged us in Christ Jesus to live above the ordinary human plane of life. There are those who with ardent fervor seek God for much more. For the same unction, the same anointing of God's grace, same zeal, the same Holy Ghost power is at our command, as was at the command of Stephen and the apostles. We have the same God that Abraham had. We have the same God that Elijah had. And we need not come behind in any gift or grace. Oh, if I had just been born back then. No, you were supposed to be born when you were born. It's just that simple. You've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen, it is. Amen. There are things you just have to accept. Amen. We have the same God that Abraham had, the same God that Elijah had, and we need not come behind in any gift or grace. We may not possess the gifts as abiding gifts. Well, what does that mean? There are some people that God, the Holy Spirit, has selected that particular gift to stay in that person's life the whole time they're here, okay? But as we are full of the Holy Ghost and divine unction, it is possible when there is a need for God to manifest every gift of the Spirit through us. Amen? It is not required that we should necessarily exhibit the gifts permanently. God has the right, the Holy Spirit has the full privilege to use whatever gift that God has given in a prepared vessel when the need arises. The gifts are under his authority. They work as the Spirit of God will. See, some people think that they have a gift, so they can just use it anytime they get ready. Not so. We're supposed to be under the governance of God, the Holy Spirit. We are under his governance. That's why we don't run off and just do anything because something might possibly need to be done. Some people think that way, but they're wrong. And one of these days they get in trouble. We are under the governance of the Holy Spirit, and he determines when the gifts work. Amen? Try to remember that. However, there should be a manifestation of the gifts as God may choose to use us. As God may choose to use us. As God may choose to use us. Ordinary man, Stephen, that we read about, became mighty under the Holy Ghost power until he stood supreme in many ways. What do you mean? He was full of faith and power, and he did wonders and miracles among the people. He grew in faith and power. He developed. He didn't just sit there waiting, okay, what do we do now? And in the meantime, he was still serving tables. He didn't stop serving, saying, oh, I'm God's man of faith and power. I have arrived on the scene. No, he didn't do that foolishness. He didn't sin in that way. He had some humility. He was still serving. Amen? He was still serving. Praise the Lord. Amen. Acts chapter, I just read that to you, didn't I? As we grow in the Lord, he enlarges our conception and places before us a wide open door. He gives us opportunities to learn, to grow, to experience. Amen? That's what he does. We've been trying to get you to do that, passing out tracts. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. So, Pastor, does this mean that he stopped serving? No, he did not stop serving when he became full of faith and power. He kept right on doing it. No, but he was lost in the power of God. He was lost, consumed, shall we say, in the power of God. He lost sight of everything in the natural and steadfastly fixed his gaze upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Yes, he was looking unto Jesus until he was transformed into a shining light in the kingdom of God. Yes. Looking at Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 14. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 14. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse. Now, saints, let's take these words seriously. Amen? Ye are the light of the world. Yes, we're talking about each of us. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now, what are we supposed to do about this? Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, saints, I'm going to talk to you a little bit right here about some saints that are not letting their light shine before men. They're now walking in worldliness. They may have grown up in the church, been in the church their entire lives, but somehow they have strayed from the path of God. And their demeanor and behavior and their presentation on Facebook or Twitter or wherever is more worldly than the worldly people. Well, we are encouraged by the scriptures to be completely different. We are encouraged to live a life of value and a life of integrity. Integrity. We are encouraged to live a life of value and a life of integrity. You see, when you have value, proper values, when you have the right value system, when your personal values line up with the Word of God, and you have integrity, godly character in your life, then you won't be so easily drawn away after the things that draw men away from God. You see, let me say it this way. There was a time when Beyonce was a real Christian. But that time has expired. Let me say it like that. Now, in order to let your light shine before men, you need to have your life cleaned up. There are certain ways you cannot present yourself and call yourself a true Christian and your light be able to shine before men. There are some manners of dress and manners of appearance, outward appearance, that are inappropriate for a Christian. I'm going to say it that way. There are some presentations, while they may be popular with the culture, they are inappropriate for your light to shine before men. And so I'm going to encourage everyone to go with the Holy Spirit into your closet. Allow him to remove those items that don't bring glory to God. Go through your wardrobe and remove those things. You may have forgotten that you own them, that do not bring glory and honor to God, and destroy them. Don't pass them on to anyone else. Get rid of them. I'm going to encourage you to sit before the Lord and ask him about your light? Is it able to shine before men? Or is there some collusion? Amen? You see, in order for them to see your good works, you need for the word to so come into you that it destroys whatever would stain your good works. Why? So that you can glorify your Father which is in heaven. We all need God to purge things out of our lives. But I want you to know that we are a major part of that purging. There are attitudes. Oh, yes, there are attitudes that God does not like. And they have to go on the cross to stay forever. You can't pull them back down. There are attitudes. There's immaturity that must go on the cross. There's pride that must go on the cross and stay there. There's perfectionism that must be nailed to the cross and stay there. There's trying to bring attention to yourself, seeking glory for yourself. That's got to go. There's fear. There's anxiety. There's even hatreds and all kinds of things. Then you get to the sexual thing. That all of those things must go on the cross. See, you can't have the power of God pouring through your life if you don't give up the old you. The old you has got to go. Hello. And that's just the truth. And at all of its facets, thing about it, it's got to go. Because you want your light to be able to shine before men so that they can see your good works. But they can't if they're covered up with a dress that's so tight that it's tucked under your rump. They can't if every time you lean over, they see more than they want to know about. They can't if your idea of a pair of jeans is doing what the world does. You look at the person's leg and there's no jeans, just leg. You know, you can't pick up every trend in the world. You just can't. You've got to leave the world behind at some point. Amen? Amen. I'll let that sink in. I was, anyway, I'll let that go. Anyway, you can't look like the world, smell like the world, talk like the world, and act like the world if you want your light to shine, if you want to bring glory to your Heavenly Father. What these people that I've been hearing about recently have done, you can't do that. When you do that, people know that you are what we call backslidden. You've left the Lord. Mm-hmm. You're not acting like Stephen for sure. So let us keep this in mind. If you're a gossip, you're going to cloud that light. If you're nosy, you're going to cloud that light. If you think you know everything and nobody can tell you anything, you're going to cloud that light. Praise the Lord. I think we're getting the point. Amen. The Bible says that Stephen was full of faith and power. He must have crucified some stuff. Amen. If you're a person who still has pity parties, well, there's a cross. Amen. So, let us get on with the things that God has called us to do. Pray that we might be awakened to believe his word, to understand the mind of the Spirit. There is an inner place of purity where we can see God through the eyes of faith. Stephen was just as ordinary a human as you and I, but he was in the place where God could so move upon him that he in turn could move all of those that were before him. God was able to use him because he'd done the crucifying that he was supposed to do, and he wasn't tardy in getting it done. He'd been doing some serious crucifying and some serious growing. His faith was growing. He began in a most humble place, ended in a blaze of glory. Remember, the Lord was saying a few weeks ago, in fact, it was on a Sunday, that he had favor for us, but we'd have to have some humility first. Amen. Some humility first. Saints, we must challenge ourselves to believe our God. We must challenge ourselves to believe our God. Yes, you're going to have to sit down and get in your own faith and talk to yourself about this particular thing God says that you still don't believe. Yes, you're going to have to go to task. Amen. We must challenge ourselves to believe our God. So, saints, how do we become a living epistle of Christ? How does that happen? How do we become living, breathing letters read of all men? Well, the saint who becomes a living epistle of Christ, written with the Spirit of the living God, has ceased to be an adulterer, a child molester, or a murderer, or a covetous person, or ever he was before, whatever he once was. He has since ceased to be. He no longer behaves in that fashion. He doesn't think that way. He's not motivated that way. He's not reaching out for more of whatever that was. He has ceased to be whatever he once was. Whatever he used to be, he ceased to be that. When you see him now, there's no way to tell he was ever a murderer. It's no way to tell he was ever a covetous person. It's no way to tell he was ever an adulterer or a whoremonger. It's just no, you wouldn't think it. All of that has been removed. There's no flirtatiousness or seducing left. It's gone. It's all gone. If they were a manipulator, they're not scheming anymore. They're not conniving anymore. They're not trying to change things here and put this in place and think up a new way. That's gone. It's gone. It's completely gone. The will of God is his delight. The will of God is his delight. These saints love to do the will of God. They love to do the will of God no matter what the will of God is, whether it makes them look good, whether it puts them in the light, or whether it doesn't. They're not showing off. They're not boasting. Oh, that's another thing. If you're a person who brags and boasts, that needs to go on the cross to stay. Who gives lame excuses for areas of lack in your life, that has to go on the cross to stay. Amen. And the attitude that you have about it, it has to go too. The will of God is his delight. These saints love to do the will of God. It is no trial to pray, no trouble to read the word of God. It is not a hard thing to attend a worship service like we're doing now. They rejoice in Psalms 122, verse 1. They rejoice in Psalms 122, verse 1. They rejoice in Psalms 122, verse 1, which says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, we're having church Friday night. All right, I'll be there. And here you are. Praise the Lord. So how does that really work, you say? I'll tell you how it works. It works just fine. This living to please God thing, it works just fine. Because God works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. God works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Not your good pleasure, his good pleasure. That's right. Have you ever observed the difference between a pump and a spring of water? Now, some of you know what a pump looks like. But if you ever watch the Waltons, you've seen one. You know what a hand pump looks like that pumps the water in. You have to prime it first. You see, you got to work with it. Pour a little water here, push it up and down. It takes some elbow grease. It's going to take some sweat and some effort. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. And you're going to have to push that thing. When it gets harder, that means the water is coming up. See, when it's way down in the well, it's easy to push that lever. But the higher the water rises, the harder it is. And you've got to keep that same smooth flowing stroke with it. You can't get jerky. You got to have a smooth flowing stroke to get what you're looking for. You need some consistency, some diligence. Yes, and some discipline to get that water up. That's right. And then there's a spring of water. Religion can become a pump. The Holy Spirit baptism is a spring. The pump may get out of order. The parts rust. And eventually, the well runs dry. But the spring is ever bubbling up, and there is a ceaseless flow direct from the throne of God. Spring is an ever bubbling up, and there is a ceaseless flow direct from the throne of God. There is life. There is life. Let's visit John, the Gospel of John, chapter 4. The Gospel of John, chapter 4. And we're beginning with verse 13. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Do we understand? I hope we're getting the point that God is making. Amen. Amen. Yes. Living water. It is written. It is written. Yes, it is written. It is written. In Psalm 45, verse 7. 45, verse 7. It is written of Jesus Christ in Psalm 45, verse 7. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. So do you understand why we must needs be turned from our own wicked ways? Our God loves righteousness and hates wickedness. All of our wickedness has got to go on that cross to stay. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. You see, there's a time to love and a time to hate, as I read to you before. We're to love righteousness and hate wickedness. If you've got it backwards, you need to go back to the foot of the cross and ask Jesus to help you out. Amen? Praise the Lord. In this new life, in the spirit, in this new covenant life, you love the things that are right and pure and holy. In this new life in Christ, you love the things that are right and pure and holy. You shudder at all things that are wrong. That was part of my experience this past week, shuddering at things that were wrong. Amen. Jesus was able to say, Prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. That's a strong statement. The devil's coming, but there's no part of him in me. The moment that we are filled with the Spirit of God, we are brought into a like wonderful condition. The moment that we are filled with the Spirit of God, we are brought into a like wonderful condition. Continue to be filled with the Spirit. The enemy cannot have any territory in us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. As we continue to be filled, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, to refill you. You can ask the Lord to refill you. But I'm going to let you do the asking. I'm going to let you do the asking. You got to want it, and you need to be the one to do the asking. But that is available to you. Amen? It's available. Yes, it's available. Amen. It's available. Amen. Amen. It's available. God is available to you. He is. All of his wonderfulness, all that God is available to each one of us. But what are we going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Uh-huh. What are you going to do about it? I know some of you are waiting for me to give you the answer, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. The answer should come from you. Excuse me. All of God is available to you, but what are you going to do about it? Amen. Well, that's a good question. I'm so glad you asked. And I pray that you seek the Lord for the answer that you need. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, I don't have a telephone number for this person. So, I pray that you'll just figure out that this is you, because you should hear my voice extremely well. Amen? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, it's you.
Oh, hi, Pastor Sabrina. It's Shakira.
Hi.
I'm calling in. I'm doing okay, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine.
I'm calling in for prayer about just, I've been having a really hard week, and just emotions are up in the air, and just having a real hard time in my job, and just everything just feels really hard and overwhelming.
Okay, what's causing these emotions to go in the air?
I guess basically disagreements with my manager.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, people do disagree. Everybody doesn't see it from the same way all the time. Now, when you prayed, what did the Lord say?
I haven't really prayed about it into proper depth. I've just been trying to basically forgive her. But it's just every day. It's almost like every day. It's just my patience is being tried a lot. And I just want to throw in the towel.
Well, you know, the other people are having their own situations in life and stress and other situations are being brought to bear on them, and that affects the work environment as well. And if someone is doing something continually to you, or what you feel you're being persecuted, or so to speak, or attacked, or approached necessarily in a way that you don't appreciate, you should have prayed about this at the onset. That's what we teach you to do. You forgave her, but you should have prayed about it. And by now, you should have entered a prayer request in the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room. All right?
Yeah.
Okay, so right now, you're going to forgive her on the air. You're on.
Okay, okay. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I forgive Alice.
For,
I don't know what the right word is for it.
Don't worry, just work. Just do the best you can.
For harassing me.
Uh-huh, yeah, keep going.
For harassing me and just, I don't know how to describe it. That's the best word I could come up with.
Okay. Did you ask the Lord to forgive you? Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and I forgive her for passivity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's it.
Did you ask the Lord to forgive you?
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Heavenly Father, I repent and I ask that you please forgive me for my actions towards Alice. In Jesus' name.
All right. All right. So now you've forgiven her. You've asked the Lord to forgive you of your thoughts and your attitudes and your feelings toward her.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, on behalf of our sister and her coworker, we ask for the Prince of Peace to come between them. Rica, Roshulla, la di Sande de Brica de la Bresa, Ruca de la Brescia, la di Diosunda, la Brecella de Diosunda, Roco, Rikita Rabre, Rica de la Brescia, la di Diosur, Regarra, Caha, Roco Torobre, Salada Diosunda, la Brescia, la di Sunda, la Brecia, Fiatai, Show, Rugunde, Racacugosa, Casaramanasata, Rugo de Resi, Arracala de Diosula, la di Sata, la Brecca de Diosuta. Father, we take authority, dominion, and power over the work of the enemy in this situation in the name of Jesus. The Bible says offenses will come. But, Father, we forgive those that have given the offense, and we ask that you comfort those that have been offended, whomever they may have been. We ask you, Father, to bring reconciliation and cooperation and understanding and peace in this situation in the name of Jesus Christ. We yield to the righteous judge in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, as you walk our sister through this situation, that she will learn more of you and more about herself, and better how to manage these kinds of situations. Woo. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. Now, I want you to take a deep breath and cough out all of those feelings that you've been having toward her that weren't necessarily the best feelings. Take a deep breath and cough. We bind them in Jesus' name. Come on out of her. That's right. All of it. Out. Into the cage, to the feet of Jesus. Forgive you. all that judgment, all that criticism, all that fault finding. You're bound in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. Come on out in Jesus' name. You have no right to be there. Come on out. All of that stress.
Pardon?
I said all of that stress. Mm-hmm. All of those thoughts, you're bound in Jesus' name, casting down every imagination and every thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, all that strife and contention, bound in Jesus' name, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Come on out, all of it, every bit of it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to ask you to send the Holy Ghost fire in and burn out everything that's not of God. Whew. Take a deep breath and release your prayer language.
Apple butt.
You what?
I don't my prayer language yet.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Did you ask the Lord Jesus, who is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, to baptize you in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in new tongues?
Yeah, we've been asking for it for a while now.
Mm-hmm. And so nothing happened?
No.
Okay, well, we're going to ask again. We're going to all do this together with you, okay? Maybe that'll help. All right?
Okay, okay. Yeah.
All right, you ask. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
You are the baptizer in the Holy Spirit.
Sorry?
You are the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who baptizes you in the Holy Spirit.
Okay. You are the baptizer in the Holy Spirit.
And the fire of God.
And the fire of God.
I ask you to bless me.
I ask you to bless me.
Just as you did the disciples.
Just as you did the disciples.
On the day of Pentecost.
On the day of Pentecost.
Have you read in the book of Acts about what happened on the day of Pentecost?
Yes.
Okay. Did you believe it?
Yes.
Have you ever been taught that you ought not to speak in tongues?
I grew up a Jehovah's Witness, so I don't know if I was necessarily told that, but probably.
Okay, so we prayed with you about that. Let's cover that again. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I've repented of being a Jehovah's Witness.
I repented of being a Jehovah's Witness.
And all that that entails.
And all that, what that entails.
I ask you to cut me free from my past as a Jehovah's Witness.
I'll say you cut me free from my past as a Jehovah's Witness.
And I open my heart to you.
And I open my heart to you.
I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
I want to have the prayer language that you bless me with.
I want to have the prayer language that you blessed me with.
So I'm asking for the Lord Jesus to baptize me.
So I'm asking for the Lord Jesus to baptize me.
Just as he did the disciples on the day of Pentecost.
just as he did the disciples on the day of Pentecost.
Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now take a deep breath and open your mouth and let out whatever comes out.
Nothing's come out.
Well, you do have to kind of move your mouth. You know, he doesn't do that part for you. Okay? And you have to calm down and not be quite so tense. Just take a deep breath and exhale. And it comes up from your belly. It's not in your head. It's never going to be in your head. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we don't teach people how to pray in tongues. We don't believe in that. We believe that when the Lord that fills you up, that it'll come forth. And sometimes you're a little too self-conscious. And I think that's what your issue is. You're a little too self-conscious and a little too tense about it. I believe that as you begin to praise the Lord and worship him, your prayer language will come out if you don't shut it down. Okay? If you don't get self-conscious of that. All right?
Yeah.
Praying and you keep praising the Lord, okay, with all your heart.
Okay, okay.
All right. God bless you. We love you. Talk to you later.
Thank you. I love you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody, praise the Lord. Thank you. We are requesting adjudications from the righteous judge concerning U.S. officials have cut off funding to a nonprofit that funneled government money, that's our money, saints, to a laboratory in China located in the same city where the first COVID-19 cases appeared. Eco Health Alliance, EHA, the nonprofit, did not adequately monitor compliance from the Wuhan lab with the terms and conditions of a grant from the U.S. National Institutes of Health, according to a May 15th letter to Eco Health President Peter Dask. Dask, it's Dane or something. He's over there from that end of the world. From Henrietta Brisbane, a deputy assistant secretary at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the NIH's parent agency. Officials also found that the subaward to Wuhan lacked requirements that would make the grant in compliance with federal law and regulations. Given the issues regarding the management of EHA's grant awards and subawards, I have determined that the immediate suspension of EHA is necessary to protect the public interest, she wrote. Echo Health, which is based in the United States, passed more than $1 million to the Wuhan lab, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, over the years to study bat coronaviruses. In 2019, the experiments yielded a more virulent version of a bat virus in mice, according to an annual report for 2019 that was not conveyed to the U.S. government by Echo Health until 2021. U.S. officials then asked for laboratory notebooks and other files regarding the testing. Echo Health officials said they did not have the files but had forwarded the request to the Wuhan lab. Wuhan officials never provided the files, according to U.S. and Echo Health officials. Echo Health facilitated gain-of-function research in Wuhan, China, without proper oversight, willingly violated multiple requirements of its multi-million dollar National Institutes of Health grant, that's our money, and apparently made false statements to the NIH. Representative Brad Winstrup of Ohio said in a statement, "These actions are wholly abhorrent, indefensible, and must be addressed with swift action. Echo Health's immediate funding suspension and future debarment is not only a victory for the U.S. taxpayer, but also for American national security and the safety of citizens worldwide," he said. Dr. Winstrup, chairman of the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic, released a report on May 1 recommending that federal prosecutors investigate Mr. Daszak over violations of the grant term. Dr. Winstrup noted, for instance, that Echo Health blamed the delay in providing the annual report on being locked out of the NIH's system, but that a forensic audit by the government uncovered no evidence supporting that claim. Representative Raul Ruiz of California, ranking member of the subcommittee, said in a statement that he welcomed the suspension of funding to Echo Health. "Every recipient of federal taxpayer funding has an obligation to meet the utmost standards of transparency and accountability to the American public," he said. Echo Health Alliance's failure to do so is a departure from the longstanding legacy of good faith partnerships between NIH and federal grantees to advance science and the public interest, which remains essential for the continued work of preventing and preparing for future threats to our nation's public health, he said, who holds a doctorate in parasitic infectious diseases, told the subcommittee in a recent hearing. "In all of our federally funded projects, we have maintained an open, transparent communication with agency staff and rapidly provided information critical to public health and agriculture. Echo Health currently has three grants being funded by the NIH, including a grant to experiment on bats with antibodies against the Nipah virus, which could be reinfected in lab experiments. The Department of Health and Human Services is suspending all funding to Echo Health and proposing the nonprofit be debarred or unable to receive funding for a period of time that could last years or even decades. The length of debarment, if ultimately imposed, will be based on the seriousness of the cause for debarment," Ms. Brisbane said. Echo Health has 30 days to contest the findings from HHS. Echo Health Alliance is disappointed by the HHS decision today, and we will be contesting the proposed debarment," a spokesman for the organization said. "We disagree strongly with the decision and will present evidence to refute each of these allegations and to show that NIH's continued support of Echo Health Alliance is in the public interest," The HHS Inspector General said previously that both NIH and ECHO health officials failed to properly monitor experiments done under the grant. The NIH, for example, did not make sure the annual report was submitted in a timely manner, the watchdog said. ECHO Health, the watchdog added, should have submitted the report by the end of September 2019, but did not do so until August 2021. The HHS previously debarred the Wuhan Institute of Virology from receiving U.S. taxpayer funds over its failure to provide the requested materials. The length of debarment announced in September 2023 was set at 10 years. The NIH determined that Wuhan lab may have conducted an experiment yielding a level of viral activity which was greater than permitted under the terms of the grant, Ms. Brisbane said in a letter to the lab's director at the time. The lab's refusal to hand over notebooks and other materials means the determination is undisputed, she said. As such, Ms. Brisbane wrote, there is risk that Wuhan virus lab not only previously violated but is currently violating and will continue to violate protocols of the NIH on bio. So we want to thank the righteous judge for his adjudications concerning such. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are requesting adjudications from the righteous judge concerning as spring gardening approaches. A new contender has entered the fray, the genetically modified purple tomato. Unlike its genetically modified predecessors, the GM purple tomato is not destined solely for the fields of commercial agriculture. It has made its debut in the backyards of home gardeners across the United States. With claims of heightening antioxidant levels and potential health benefits, this novel creation has stirred both excitement and controversy among consumers and scientists alike. Biotech investigators hope it can usher in a new era of public trust in genetically engineered foods. Not with me. While skeptics worry the tomatoes' near total lack of regulation or review may hide dangers to human health and the environment. Now, I'm going to say something about myself. I recently bought some tangerines, and I couldn't wait to rinse them off, get them home, get them cleaned off, put them in the refrigerator so they get cool, they get chilled, and then I could just enjoy. Well, you know me. I peeled right into that thing, and I pulled off a section and popped it in my mouth and enjoyed the juice, and then I said to the Lord, Lord, there's no seed in this thing. There's no seed in any of them. Well, you know the ones God made have seeds in them. You know, like the grapes and the watermelons that God made have seeds in them. Well, this year, I don't remember if I ate tangerines last year. This year, they don't have seeds. I'm not too happy about that. The genetically modified purple tomato was engineered by scientists at Norfolk Plant Sciences in the UK, led by biochemist Kathy Martin and her team. The project aimed to harness the natural properties of anthocyanins, compounds found in blueberries and blackberries, to enhance the nutritional profile of tomatoes. I kind of think the way God did it was fine. Using genetic engineering techniques, Ms. Martin and her colleagues inserted two genes responsible for the purple coloration in edible snapdragon flowers into tomato plants. This process enabled the tomatoes to express the genes from the snapdragon and subsequently produce high levels of anthocyanins, thereby imbuing the tomatoes with a distinct purple hue and potentially enhanced health. According to Norfolk Healthy Produce, the U.S. subsidiary of Norfolk Plant Sciences, The purple tomatoes are a rich source of antioxidants because of the increased contents of anthocyanins. Unlike domesticated tomatoes, which contain anthocyanins in the skin, the purple tomato contains anthocyanins throughout the whole tomato. The genesis of the genetically modified purple tomato marks a significant milestone in agricultural biotechnology. Unlike previous genetically modified crops, primarily targeted at commercial producers, this tomato is the first GM food crop directly marketed to home gardeners in the United States, producing an opportunity for individuals to engage with biotechnology in their own backyard. According to Norfolk Healthy Produce, more than 13,000 purple tomato seed orders have already been shipped. The GM purple tomato was deregulated by the U.S. Department of Agriculture in 2022. According to a statement from the USDA, the genetically modified purple tomato is not subject to regulation by the USDA because it does not pose a plant pest risk. With Plant Sciences, purple tomato, we did not identify any plausible pathways to increase plant pest risk compared to other cultivated tomatoes, and issued a response letter indicating the plant is not subject to regulation, it said in the statement. In 2023, the purple tomato received a no questions letter from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, which means the purple tomato is considered generally recognized as safe and therefore does not require pre-market review or approval by the FDA. To qualify for that status, generally recognized as safe, Norfolk Plant Sciences submitted data from tests conducted internally. The lack of safety testing by the USDA and FDA and reliance on data generated by the company that will profit from approval of its own product have led some experts calling for a more comprehensive safety assessment. Data provided to the FDA by Norfolk Plant Sciences demonstrates the company conducted various safety tests. However, critics argue the tests are insufficient to guarantee the safety of the purple tomato for human consumption. According to an FDA memo dated June 6, 2023, tests conducted by Norfolk Plant Sciences mainly in six areas. Of those, four were relatively straightforward, while two have raised safety concerns among experts, according to GM Watch. The first one, PCR and southern blot analysis were conducted by Norfolk Plant Sciences to determine if the Snapdragon foreign DNA was inserted into the tomato DNA. The company stated that insertion of the foreign DNA was confirmed. Two, PCR and sequence comparison of DNA samples were conducted to confirm the stability of the inheritability of the insertion across generations. Plants were bred to determine if the purple phenotype was inherited in a Mendelian segregation fashion. The company stated the purple phenotype was inheritable. Number three, compositional analysis was conducted to determine whether the purple tomato contained similar nutrients at similar levels to non-GMO tomatoes, including protein, fat, carbohydrate, fiber, minerals, carotenoids, vitamins, and alpha-tomatidine. The company determined the levels of the most nutritional components to be similar or with minor differences. Number four, Norfolk Plant Sciences assessed dietary exposure levels, assuming the complete replacement of red tomatoes in the human diet with a purple tomato for 2 days. The company concluded that the level of dietary exposure to anthocyanins is the same as consuming high anthocyanin foods. For example, consuming 8 ounces of purple tomato juice is equivalent to consuming 1 cup of blueberries. One bioinformatic analysis was utilized to determine if any open reading frames were generated or disrupted by inserting the foreign DNA. Norfolk Plant Sciences searched the DNA sequences flanking the insertion sequence in the tomatoes. The company reported no open reading frames flanking the insertion location. Since Norfolk Plant Sciences did not assess possible damage to the entire genome using advanced laboratory techniques, geneticist Michael Antonio expressed concern in a statement published by GM Watch. There is no evidence that the developers of the genetically modified purple tomato have carried out the kind of molecular analysis that could help establish whether they only got the change they want with no unintended changes. Ah, as a result, we don't know if these tomatoes are safe to eat, he said. We must also bear in mind that the genetically modified transformation process, plant tissue culture and plant cells transformation will inevitably give rise to hundreds, if not thousands, of sites of unintended DNA damage, mutation. These wide-scale mutations can change patterns of gene function and alter biochemistry and composition with unknown downstream health consequences. Assessment of new peptides of equal or greater than 30 amino acids at the insertion site of the foreign DNA was conducted to rule out toxicity or allergenicity concerns. The company identified one punitive peptide. However, it stated that this peptide has no homology to any known allergen or protein, and there was no evidence the sequence is transcribed in tomato. It concluded that the results do not raise food safety concerns. Allergenicity is an ongoing concern regarding the genetic modification of food. For example, a study published in Nature in 1999 reports that bean plants were genetically modified to produce higher levels of methionine and cysteine, but were discarded because the expressed protein of the transgene was highly allergic. While Norfolk Plant Sciences did not identify a match with any known allergens, that does not guarantee that the peptide formed through the process of gene modification is not an allergen. Given that nearly 11% of adults and 5.6 million children in the United States have food allergies, it may be prudent to apply the precautionary principle when modifying our food's genetic makeup. Although not included in the 2023 FDA memo, Norfolk Plant Sciences, in conjunction with Ms. Martin, published a pilot feeding study in 2008 in Nature Biotechnology that examined the effects of purple tomato supplementation on the lifespan of cancer-susceptible mice. According to the study, mice fed the GM tomato lived longer by an average of 40 days than those fed on non-GM red tomatoes. Maybe mice don't like tomatoes. The publication of the pilot study prompted the John Innes Center to publish a statement titled, Purple Tomatoes May Keep Cancer at Bay. Norfolk Plant Sciences is a spinoff company from the John Innes Center. That unsubstantiated health claim led to a frenzy of media headlines perpetuating the cancer-fighting tomato narrative, including Purple Tomato Can Beat Cancer, published by the Daily Express, and Scientists Develop Cancer-Fighting Purple Tomato, published by Reuters. With the introduction of the genetically modified purple tomato in 2024, unsubstantiated health claims have resurfaced. For example, Living Carbon CEO Maddie Hall wrote on X, Big purple tomato helps prevent cardiovascular disease and fight cancer in humans. The UK's National Health Service stated that the health claims are not based on benefits documented in humans, but instead are from a small-scale study of mice, according to an article published in the NHS Choices. According to the NHS, the small sample sizes used means the results have occurred by chance. Also, until the tomato is tested in humans, we cannot be sure that it will offer the same benefits or that there will not be any unexpected harms, the NHS said. Excessive consumption of anthocyanin may pose an unexpected harm. While it is commonly believed that antioxidants are beneficial and more preferable, Cancer Research UK suggests this assumption lacks scientific support. There's a fair amount of evidence that some antioxidants in our foods can help prevent some kinds of cancer in some people, it said in a blog on its website. But the complexity of this evidence often gets translated in the media, twisted by Leviathan is another way to say that, and in advertising to antioxidants prevent disease. And that's not what the science says. While anthocyanins have been linked to potential health benefits because of their antioxidant properties, the notion of more is better falls to account for the delicate balance within the human body. The need for nutrient balance is documented for other common nutrients. For example, vitamin A plays a critical role in eyesight, but high levels of vitamin A can be toxic, leading to hair thinning, blurred vision, headaches, weakness, bone pain, according to a 2022 article published in the International Journal of Molecular Sciences. Likewise, iron is required for oxygen transport and DNA synthesis. However, too much iron can lead to tissue damage, according to a 2014 review in the Journal of Research in Medical Sciences. Anthocyanins may follow the same pattern of some is good, but too much can be bad. A 2022 article written by Ray Sedler, a former scientist for the Environmental Protection Agency, says, when consumed in moderation, anti-inflammatory compounds like anthocyanins can have health benefits, but too much of a good thing may not be good. It has been demonstrated that overconsumption of anthocyanins, when taken as a pill supplements, may cause kidney, liver, and thyroid hormone health effects. Anthocyanins are part of a group of compounds called polyphenols, which may also limit or interfere with iron absorption. Antioxidant supplementation can also increase the risk of cancer, according to a 2023 review in the scientific journal Antioxidants. Antioxidants work in part by neutralizing reactive oxygen species such as superoxide anion and hydrogen peroxide and hydroxyl radicals. These ROS, reactive oxygen species, are produced naturally during oxygen-based respiration in all living organisms. However, they can harm molecules, including DNA, proteins, and cell membranes, contributing to the formation of diseases such as cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's disease, depression, diabetes, and aging, according to a 2023 study published in the Archives of Toxicology. However, ROS also play a crucial role in combating disease and maintaining overall health. For instance, certain immune cells can generate ROS to eliminate invading bacteria, fungi, and yeast, and thereby reducing their harmful effects. Additionally, they act as signaling molecules, activating essential biochemical pathways and regulating gene expression. It is essential to strike a balance, producing enough ROS to regulate vital functions in the body without generating excessive amounts that lead to damage or disease. Consequently, Mr. Sadler has raised concern over the amount of anthocyanins Americans might consume if the GM purple tomato replaces its conventional counterpart. The average American consumes around 12.5 milligrams of these antioxidants per day, he said. The anthocyanin content from the genetically modified tomato averages about 500 milligrams to 100 grams of fresh fruit, some 40 times more than the average daily average consumption. 100 grams of tomato is less than half a cup. Other naturally purple colored fruits, sweet cherries, blackberries, strawberries, red raspberries, black grapes, contain anthocyanins in the range of 143 milligrams per 100 grams, up to 160-fold less than the GM purple tomato. Mr. Antonio echoed the same reservation in the statement published by GM Watch. I am concerned that ingesting mega doses of antioxidants such as anthocyanins from even a modest portion of the GM purple tomatoes can interfere with the delicate balance between too much and too little ROS, leading to negative health outcomes, he said. Traditional plant breeding techniques have already produced a variety of purple tomatoes boosting elevated levels of anthocyanins without resorting to genetic modification. Growers already have access to an array of heirloom purple tomato varieties, including the esteemed Black Zebra and Black Beauty. Furthermore, in 2011, Jim Myers, a plant breeder and professor at Oregon State University, released the first traditionally bred purple tomato with boosted levels of anthocyanins, according to an article published by Oregon State University. Unlike their domesticated counterparts, which typically harbor anthocyanins in their plant structures and sometimes skin, wild tomatoes employed in the breeding program exhibit these beneficial compounds within their fruits, as highlighted by Mr. Myers. Year after year, Mr. Myers and his team cross genes, often by hand, from wild tomatoes with modern varieties until higher levels of anthocyanins could be found in the fruit. Over two decades since the inception of this breeding program, the Indigo cultivars have proliferated more than 50 variants worldwide, finding homes in both small-scale farms and corporate agricultural enterprises. These alternatives currently on the market underscore the power of traditional breeding methods in addressing nutritional needs and enhancing agricultural diversity without recourse to genetic modification. The first waves of genetically modified crops were predominantly marketed with the goal of helping farmers feed the world. Food security was at the forefront as crops were engineered to increase yields, resist herbicides, and become more resistant to environmental stressors such as insect damage and disease. Historically, most crops have been genetically engineered not to increase nutrient density but to better withstand herbicides and pests. One of the few exceptions was golden rice, engineered in the 1990s to contain higher levels of beta-carotene to combat vitamin A deficiency. That crop never gained traction. Pink pineapple was created in 2020 by Fresh Del Monte, a California-based company. The rosy flesh contains high levels of lycopene, an antioxidant that gives peaches, tomatoes, and watermelons their rosy hues. However, only Fresh Del Monte is allowed to grow the pink pineapple, whereas the purple tomato can be grown by farmers or consumers in the United States. Unlike most of its GM predecessors, the purple tomato is marketed as a nutrient-dense food designed to improve health. Why are we witnessing a marketing shift away from food security toward individual health? According to a 2019 Pew Research Center survey, 51% of Americans view GMOs as worse for their health than foods that are not genetically modified. Furthermore, only 7% of Americans who were polled view GMOs as being healthier. Norfolk Healthy Produce CEO Nathan Pumplin stated, "We aim to show with this product and with this company that there's a lot of benefits that can go to consumers through biotechnology, better taste, better nutrition as prime examples." Then the GM purple tomato chips away at this negative perception of GMOs, and that will enable other products to get out to the market that deliver really solid benefits, so they promise. Could the purple tomato be a Trojan horse, boasting claims of improved health for the individual while trickling GM seeds into gardens to gain acceptance of GMOs among consumers? Only time will tell. In the meantime, if gardeners want to avoid the GM purple tomato, it may prove challenging. What's GM seeds, genetically modified seeds, are planted by backyard gardeners, seed drift becomes a concern. Norfolk Health Produce said you can cross-pollinate the purple tomato with other varieties. As tomatoes generally only self-pollinate, you will need to pollinate manually. Our purple trait will segregate depending upon what you cross to. You may not know which plants are carrying the trait until they bear fruit. In a statement, Joel Sellaton, regenerative farmer and co-owner of Polyface Farm, expressed concern about the seed drift and patent infringement. One of the biggest concerns for gardeners is adulteration due to pollen drift, he said. Seed companies often advise up to a mile of distance between varieties to maintain cultivar purity. If you are in an urban or suburban setting, and especially if you do not know all your neighbors or their activities, this kind of distance can be virtually impossible to guarantee. Suddenly you have a being in your garden that you don't want. And the way courts have ruled, if the cultivar patent owner finds one of your tomatoes with adulterated DNA, you can be liable for patent infringement. What a mess. Ms. Martin and her colleague Jonathan Jones from Norfolk Healthy Produce hold active and pending patents on methods to genetically engineer plants with higher antioxidant compounds and on the plants made using those methods. The unveiling of the genetically modified purple tomato is a watershed moment. Woo, that's pretty bad. In agricultural biotechnology, as it is the first genetically modified seed marketed to gardeners. Yet amid the fervor and excitement, we must not lose sight of the complexities and uncertainties that accompany such innovation. Questions remain regarding its safety, efficacy, and long-term implications for human health and the environment. As scientists, policymakers, and consumers navigate the complex terrain of GMOs, transparency, evidence-based decision-making, and public engagement are essential to fostering informed dialogue as we shape the future of agriculture and our food supply. So we want to thank the righteous judge for his interventions, adjudications concerning such. I rather believe that God did it right the first time, but that's just me as a scientist. Other scientists think that they can improve on what God has done. Amen. Requesting adjudications from the righteous judge concerning. I know. Yeah. I know. They'll blow in the wind and end up in your backyard. Requesting adjudications from the righteous judge concerning. The House has advanced a bipartisan bill aimed at preventing U.S. taxpayer dollars from flowing to Chinese biotechnology firms that pose a national security threat. The Biosecure Act, H.R. 8333, was approved by the House Oversight Committee on May 15th by a 40-1 vote. The bill would ban federal agencies from contracting any Chinese biotechnology company of concern, including Beijing Genomics Institute, MGI, Complete Genomics, WuX, Aptech, and WuX Biologics. Meanwhile, U.S. pharmaceutical and health companies have until 2032, gee, that's a long time, to cut their ties with these Chinese companies. The House Oversight Committee just sent a powerful bipartisan message to the Chinese Communist Party. The United States will not sit idly by while the CCP steals our genetic data and seeks to control our biotech supply chains, said Representative John Molinar, and I don't know what his name is other than Raja, and Brad Winstrup in a joint statement. We are proud to lead the Biosecure Act and look forward to working with House leadership to get this bill on the floor as soon as possible. Mr. Molinar and Mr. K, we're going to call him that, are the chairman and ranking member, respectively, of the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party. Mr. Winstrup is the chairman of the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic. The trio introduced the BioSecure Act on May 10th, along with five original co-sponsors. The legislation would also ban federal loans or grants from being used to procure, obtain, or use any biotechnology equipment or services from Chinese biotech companies deemed concerning, according to the language of the bill. It would also set up an interagency process to identify additional companies that should face the ban. This bill is a necessary step towards protecting America's sensitive healthcare data from the CCP before these companies become more embedded in the U.S. economy, university systems, and federal contracting base, Representative James Comer, chairman of the Oversight Committee, said on May 15th before the vote. The approved bill was an updated version of the original legislation, H.R. 7085, introduced in January. One difference between the two versions is that the WuX Biologics was added to the new version of the legislation. In the Senate, a companion bill, S-3558, of the original House legislation was advanced in March after the Homeland Security Committee approved it. The legislation now awaits voting in the Senate and House before President Joe Biden could sign it into law. Before the May 15th vote, Mr. K stressed how the United States should not work with Chinese biotech companies that engage in nefarious activities. BGI and WuZ have been found by the U.S. government and others to be involved in the perpetration of human rights abuses, specifically the Uyghur genocide, he said. The Select Committee has found evidence of BGI and WuZ operating the PRC's 27 pregnancy genetic testing centers with a PLA, which allows the CCP to help identify and separate Uyghurs from other residents, a key pillar of the CCP's genocide, he continued. PRC is an acronym for Communist China's official name, the People's Republic of China, while PLA is an acronym for China's military, the People's Liberation Army. BGI not only worked with the PLA to develop its technology, but they also now collect data and send it back to China that is used for continued research with the PLA, People's Liberation Army. There are reports that WuZ Aptec has stolen intellectual property from American companies and sent it back to China to be replicated, he added. The Chinese regime has locked up more than 1 million Uyghurs in internment camps where detainees are subjected to forced labor, torture, political indoctrination, forced abortion, and other inhuman treatments. In 2021, the U.S. government formally declared the CCP's treatment of Uyghurs in China's far western region of wherever that is as genocide and crimes against humanity. Two of the BGI subsidiaries, Xinjiang Silk Road BGI and Beijing Lihu BGI, were added to the Commerce Department's entity list in 2020 for being implicated in human rights violations in Xinjiang. At least that's the way I'm going to say. Following the May 15 vote, the Washington-based advocacy group Campaign for Uyghurs, in a post on X, formerly Twitter, called the BioSecure Act crucial legislation and said it is proud to have advocated for its success. In February, Mr. K and three other lawmakers asked the Biden administration to blacklist WuXing Aptec and WuXing Biologics in a letter sent to Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Woozy Aptech and Woozy Biologics have obscured their ties to the CCP and PLA, and as a result are rapidly integrating themselves into U.S. supply chains by signing agreements with prominent U.S. biotech entities, including with Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. The letter reads, citing a 2022 report from the U.S. Department of Energy. For these reasons and others, these companies and their affiliates should not be receiving U.S. taxpayer dollars, period, Mr. Casey. I look forward to working with my colleagues across the aisle and in the Senate to protect Americans' health and their data. And we want to thank the righteous judge for his adjudications concerning such. We are requesting adjudications from the righteous judge concerning. In an Action News Jax investigation, helped bring about a congressional hearing that confirmed Social Security overpaid millions of people, and now it's demanding the money back. Plus, three senators are looking into our reporting, covered one of the reasons this is happening, a demand for accountability from the Social Security Administration over billions of dollars in overpayments took place Wednesday at the Capitol. Members of Congress held a hearing to figure out why improper payments were happening in the first place. The agency blames a lack of funding. Our staffing shortages absolutely contribute to overpayments, explained Dr. KK, the SSA acting commissioner. For more than a year, Action News Jax investigates has been asking the agency how many Americans have been asked to pay back Social Security overpayments, and now for the first time, we've learned it's millions, with nearly a million this year and more than a million last year. It's a lot of our fellow Americans, and it's a lot of money, said Georgia Representative Drew Ferguson. The hearing comes after our investigative teams in eight cities across seven states in collaboration with KFF Health News heard from beneficiaries around the country impacted by overpayments. Many of them are poor, elderly, and disabled and have gotten letters asking them to pay the money back in sometimes tens of thousands of dollars. We also uncovered many recipients who have had their payments frozen when they couldn't pay it back. I've put in place a review team to look at even more ways we can improve, Mr. K or Ms. K, whichever it is, told Congress. The Social Security Administration said that review includes looking into what's causing improper payments. We discovered one cause earlier this week when we reported how the COVID stimulus checks counted against some recipients. The Social Security Administration was not supposed to let that happen. Now, three senators are looking into the issue based on our reporting. The letter gives the administration 30 days to address the questions they're asking. As the nation reeled from COVID-19, the federal government sent many Americans a financial lifeline. But some recipients say the COVID relief payments have triggered financial distress by jeopardizing their Social Security benefits. The government has demanded they repay much larger amounts, thousands of dollars in benefits for the poor and disabled distributed by the Social Security Administration. The government gave this money to them with one hand. They should not be trying to take it back with the other, said Jen Burdick, an attorney at Community Legal Services of Philadelphia, who has helped many people contest repayment demands. Joe Vaughn, a disabled 63-year-old in New Mexico, received $3,200 in federal COVID relief. Then came a letter from the Social Security Administration dated August 25, 2023, saying she owed the government $14,026. They are sending me to a very early grave, Vaughn said. The COVID clawback show the trauma the Social Security Administration can cause when it claims to have overpaid beneficiaries, many of them highly vulnerable, and then calls on them to pay the money back. The collection efforts illustrate the limitations and dysfunctions that have come to define the agency. The Social Security Administration spokesperson, Nicole Tigman, declined to comment for this article or to arrange an interview with the agency's acting commissioner, KK. In the wake of a recent investigation by KFF Health News and Cox Media Group, House and Senate members have called for action on problems at the Social Security Administration. The agency has announced that it is undertaking a review of its own, and a House panel is scheduled to hold a hearing on October 18th. Vaughn and other recipients didn't ask for the COVID money. The checks, known as economic impact or stimulus payments, landed automatically in their mailboxes or bank accounts in three installments in 2020 and 2021. The payments, which were based on the recipient's income, totaled as much as $3,200 per person. The payments pushed some beneficiaries' bank balances above the $2,000 asset limit for individuals on supplemental security income, a program for people with little or no income or assets who are blind, disabled, or 65 or over. The limit, which hasn't been adjusted for inflation in decades, can discourage people from working or saving more than a small amount of money. In some cases, when the Social Security Administration belatedly noticed the higher bank balances, it concluded the beneficiaries no longer qualify for SSI, according to the people affected. Then the agency set out to recapture years of SSI benefits it alleged they shouldn't have received. Even as recipients appealed the actions, the agency stopped sending monthly benefit checks. The ripple effect can disrupt health care, too. In most states, receiving is eligible for Medicaid, so halting SSI benefits can jeopardize coverage under the Public Health Insurance Program, said Darcy Milburn of the ARC, an organization that advocates for people with disabilities. Vaughn, who suffered a disabling injury while working as a cook on a truck stop, said she depends on the $557 she was receiving from SSI each month. It hasn't come since August, she said. Her only remaining income, she says, is $377 in monthly Social Security retirement payments. I'm afraid of being homeless, she said by phone. I don't want to end up on the street, or even worse, she said in an email. If I don't start receiving my money back, well, let's just say I have my will ready. The COVID stimulus payments aren't supposed to trigger Social Security clawbacks. Early in the pandemic, the Social Security Administration said that when assessing people's eligibility for SSI, it would exclude the payments for 12 months. Later, it said it would exclude them indefinitely. But what the agency says and what it does, indeed, what it is capable of doing, are often very different. People who study the agency said, it is not clear SSA knows where money beneficiaries' accounts is coming from, said Kathleen Roaming, Director of Social Security and Disability Policy at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. All right, Saints, I've read the majority of that. I'm going to let you read the rest on your own, and we are going to pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Marshall, are you ready?
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Father, for your extraordinary gift of the Lord Jesus and setting him forth, putting him on that tree in our place. Because if he didn't do that for us, Father, if he didn't say, not my will, but thy will be done, none of us would have a chance of making heaven or having hope for the future. But we do have hope. We thank Jesus is our hope. We thank you, Father, that we come boldly before your throne of grace in time of need for all these different articles that Pastor Sabrina just read through and Brother Bill was nice enough to post, Father, in Jesus' name. And we ask for your help, Father God, in Jesus' name, including each and every one of the rather long. My goodness, I didn't realize how long they all are. In Jesus' name, for the business about Eco Health finding its hand caught in the cookie jar, as it were, and that they weren't being accountable to the U.S. government, Father, in Jesus' name, this government corporate sponsorship sounds more like fascism. Apparently, was working really well for EcoHealth, but it may not be working so well for the American public. It's supposed to be one nation under God for the benefit of the people, Father God. It's supposed to be the people that are supposed to be choosing their leaders. But, Father God, it doesn't look like the so-called elected officials may be serving other interests other than the people. But we do thank you for the people that are standing up in these instances, including this Brad Winstrup, in Jesus' name, these people that are trying to bring to light the fact that there's some serious questions about what's going on with the funding. Although they're still trying to point most of the fingers at China, which I think is planned, rather than where the original research came from. Came from the United States military, Father God. Father God, it's very interesting that they only want to have somebody to blame, somebody to blame. And don't look at me. Look at this other person. Look way over there in China. The China virus, I think Trump wanted to call it. But Father God, what about Fort Detrick? So, Father, we ask you to expose everything that's going on, and we thank you for doing so. We've been praying, and you've been answering these prayers for quite a while now, Father. You said we don't need to be worried about any of these things, Father God, in Jesus' name. Over in Matthew 10:26, but even in Mark, where is that one in Mark? Mark 4:22, I think it is. Help me, Jesus. You said, for there's nothing hid that shall not be manifest, neither anything was kept secret that should come abroad. So we thank you for bringing all these things to light, Father God, and not just what's going on over there, but this business about trying to get this Trojan horse tomato to be well accepted. Oh, it's going to be really good for you. Well, Father God, you said every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Some people don't know that scripture in Timothy, Father God. They don't know it's supposed to be because God created the heavens and the earth. And Father God, he said it was good. He said the human beings were good. And you made us in your image, Father. And some people don't even know that, Father God. They think they can change the way they look. And maybe not just on the outside, but that you look at the heart, Father. It'll help us all to change the way you want. You want us all to change from glory to glory as we gaze into your eyes and say, oh, you mean I have to love my neighbors myself? So, Father God, we ask you to expose what's going on with not just this purple tomato, but all the other plans and schemes, Father God, because it's happening all over the earth. They're trying to get people to focus on, it's a very self-oriented thing. It's about my health, not about what's best for God's green earth that he spoke into being. And there is no Mother Nature, Father God. You're the one who created everything, Father God. We bind every spirit of idolatry and every spirit of somebody thinking that, well, I'm so smart, they forget where they came from. You created everything, Lord. You created Klaus Schwab and all these other people, including his so-called false prophet, in Jesus' name. We ask you to expose everything that's going on, including what they're trying to do to the farmers, and not just in France, and all those people standing up against it, Father God, and in the Netherlands, but even in New Zealand and Australia, as I heard, terrible things happened over there to the farmers, Father God, really horrific things, making them destroy their own livelihood, Father God, in normal, healthy, God-created things, trying to get rid of, they can't sell lambs, even though they used to have a market, and one day the government passed a law, and all of a sudden they can't sell their lambs, Father God, to other places. Well, there's a huge demand because they don't want people to have meat, red meat, or any kind of meat. They don't want people to have honey, apparently, in New Zealand. They want them to burn up their honey hives. So, Father, we ask you to expose all that's going on concerning the concerns about the proper balance of what is good and what isn't good in the food, Father, because you created everything. You created it in the proper balance. And some people say that this or that's going to prevent cancer. They don't want people to know the real causes of cancer. So we ask you to expose that too, Father, in Jesus' name, because some people think they really know already. But the government, these tyrants or whatever, are trying to keep it hidden because they don't want people to live longer. Why don't they want people to live longer? Because they think the world is too many people on it. 8 billion people is too many. Too many for what? Oh, for them to control. Oh, the whole thing is about control. It's not about what's best for individual people. It's about what's best for the global elite. They want to live in their own little ivory towers, Father God. at least it's so it appears. But Father God, this is why I'm accusing somebody else. Maybe I'm accusing myself. So Father, I repent. We pray for those human beings that can repent, Father God. We ask you, you told us to pray for all those in authority, that we can live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. So we ask you to send the Holy Ghost, because he's the one who brings conviction, Father God, not me. The Holy Ghost brings conviction, Father God. It's not my job to be pointing my long bony finger at somebody else, because I got three more fingers pointing back at me. But I know there's a real battle going on. I went to purchase some organic plants to put in the garden. And the place that used to sell them all the time, they said, oh, they wanted $1,000 just to buy one bunch of organic plants. They said it was, they couldn't justify it. So, Father God, there's a plan going on to make these things not available, like the thing that Noel was talking about the in the chat room about the pineapples. Outrageously expensive and not necessarily available. So, Father God, we ask you to expose. We thank you for Brother Bill's information about the tomatoes that he likes. And we think that growing organically is the way you intended, Father God, without all kinds of strange things added to the soil, because where do plants get their nutrients from? They get the rain, they get the light. Hopefully that Bill Gates hasn't blocked out all the light just yet, although it seems to be. And they get it from CO2, which plants need, and they say that's not good. And they get it from nitrogen, which they're pretending isn't good over in Europe or something. But, Father God, we know we all need food. Every living thing, physical living thing, needs some food, at least periodically. We can go. Moses went 40 days and 40 nights without eating or drinking anything, but he was in the very presence of God. He was in that. He was in the Shekinah glory. He was in the mist, because when the Israelites looked at the fire of God, they were terrified. They saw it as a fire, but Moses walked into the midst of the cloud, it says in Exodus, where was that, Lord? In Exodus 24, something like that. But maybe it was Genesis. I don't remember right now. But Father God, Moses is the very presence of God. He didn't need to eat or drink for 40 days and 40 nights twice. He prayed and fasted for the people when they were leaning toward idolatry. Oh, let's worship a purple tomato. Let's worship these people who can create new food for us. Oh, they're going to give us vertical agriculture. Oh, we're going to have lots of lovely bugs to eat. Father God, we bind every spirit of trying to control people through the foods in Jesus' name, because that's what it's all about, control, Father God. It's all about control through the phones. They have to know where everybody is. We're not supposed to know who they are or where they are. But they want, just like the Chinese, they want to know about the genes of these different people that they don't happen to like over there. And we thank for the people in the U.S. Congress and those people that are standing up for that group that's been earmarked by China to be severely limited. Kind of reminds us of what Pharaoh did with Moses and all the Jewish boys. They were supposed to be fed to the river gods, right? But Moses got out of there, Father God. And the Jewish people, they were so sure that he was going to be used to be the Savior. And they rejected the real Savior, the Lord Jesus, Father. Most of them did, not all of them. Most of the people who wrote the New Testament were Jews, except for Luke, I think. I think he was a Gentile. But Jesus never went to Luke to say, hey, Dr. Luke, hey, you know, should I use these kind of leeches to bleed people to give them their health? There's always been a funny thing about running after idolatry for health, running after worshiping the medical community instead of worshiping the Creator. But you said you sent your word and healed them. You didn't send China with bioengineering. You didn't send people from England or the U.S. or any other place to change things from what you created, Father God. And we ask for your help. We ask you for delivering us from every plant. Satan, you bound every one of your underlings are bound, sending against all the people we've interceded for in Jesus' name, including those from China, including those in the U.S. Congress, and every in the Senate as well, and every the local governments as well. Father, we ask you to bring to light what's going on to the people in the local communities, including the local sheriffs, Father God, in the United States, and all those people in authority who can do something. There's some people even in the European, what do they call it, the equivalent of their Congress, Father God, that are waking up. Some of those people that came from, that used to be communist bloc countries, you know, like Pastor Arthur Pulaski, who came from Poland. He saw what was going on up in Canada, Father God. He saw what was going on. It was just tyrants, Father God, saying that the government was over God. The government is not over God. He looks down at all the nations of the earth like little grasshoppers. He laughs. Father God, when you see these people, what they're trying to do, Father God, even as David talked about in Psalm 2 and was referred to also in Acts chapter 4, Father God. For why did the heathen, I guess I should read it because I don't have it memorized. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for reminding me about it anyway. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you for the spirit of adoption, Father God, in Jesus' name. Just ask kind of about that. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Boy, are they doing that. The kings of the earth, those people who think they're kings, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against Father God, and against his anointed, the Messiah, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cut away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my King, King Jesus, upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. And we've done that, Lord. We ask you to give the body of Christ the heart to witness to everybody. There was a gentleman over here who spoke Spanish, didn't speak hardly any English, but I happened to have one of those chick tracks in Spanish, and I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that he was receptive. I thank you, Father God. Hopefully he's legal. I didn't ask the person he was working with. But, Father God, help us to know how to walk in love, to walk in the Spirit the way you want. And we thank you for doing so. So Satan, all the witchcraft curses sent against every one of us from all the different groups, the Masonic lodges, from the people who worship Satan, the highest levels in different governments, from the WHO, the World Homicide Organization, all eternally sinful in his spirits of sin. Do those spirits intend to do thus in Jesus' name. Render unto our neighbors sinful into the bosoms they reproach, whereas they reproach thee, O Lord, in Jesus' name, because of the blood of covenant. We bind every spirit of mass psychosis and insanity, and we bind every spirit of, as Pastor Sabrina has already said earlier in the prayers, Father, we bind every spirit of mammon, every spirit of worshiping, funding, whatever currency you want to call it in, Father God. They're all based on debt. Only debt. People working for what? To what? To get a little put in bags that have holes in them, Father God. We ask you, Father God, to help the people to wake up to what's going on. And we thank you, Father, for doing that, waking up the body of Christ on the glorious awakening of the body of Christ, giving those a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, Father God, in Jesus' name. We thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do. Because you said that over and over again in Jesus' name. Even in, where is that one? King David talks about it in Psalm 72. At least that's one location I remember. Thank you for reminding me, Holy Ghost. And blessed is his glorious name forever and ever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. It says you don't give your glory to another. We have to be part of the body of Christ. Just like Jesus said to Saul of Tarsus before he became Paul. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Why was he persecuting Jesus? He never touched Jesus. He was persecuting the body of Christ. Because when we drink into one spirit with him, he is in us. Great as he is in us, then he is in the world. Satan, you're bound from our position, seated in heavenly places in Christ. Jesus, no further flow of power, communication from down there. The second heavens, the first heavens, to all those we've entered seated for, including all those trying to cover up the food no! Lord.